words that I would like to leave before you this morning are found in the first verse. Indeed, the opening words of the Lord Jesus in this great high priestly prayer of the Savior, John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus, lifting up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. I'd like us to consider today those five words. Father, the hour is come. The hours and the moments leading up to and including the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ were hours that were bathed in prayer. After eating the Passover with his disciples, he informed one of them, namely Simon Peter, that Satan had desired to have him, that he might sift him as wheat. But then the Lord informed Peter, but I have prayed for thee. Somewhere, sometime, in some secret place or other, the Lord Jesus had been interceding for his dear servant, Simon Peter. Even though the cross of Calvary and his crucifixion was drawing very near, yet the Lord Jesus took time to pray in private for his servant Peter. The Lord Jesus is seen praying here in public for his people, as we have just read the words of his great high priestly prayer. You will take time to study the prayer of Christ. You will discover that he brings before his heavenly Father no less than seven petitions. He prays seven times for his own people. In verse 11, prayed for their security, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. Verse 13, he prays for their satisfaction, for he prays that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. In verse 15, he prays for their separation, a separation from the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. He prayed for their separation. Verse 17, he prayed for their sanctification. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 20, he prays for their service. For he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. My, what an encouragement this prayer is. No wonder Martin Luther loved to hear this passage of Scripture, this chapter read in his hearing. What an encouragement it is to each one of us. What an encouragement it is to the servant of God as he goes out to preach the word. It's good to know that Christ is praying for him as he preaches the word. and he's praying that souls will be saved as he preaches the word. And then verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. So he prayed that his people would be with their Savior. That's what he was praying about. That his own blood-bought people would be with their Savior. And then in verse 24 again, he prays about what they would see in glory. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world. Seven petitions on the behalf of the Lord's own people is what the Lord brought before his heavenly Father there in that great high priestly prayer. But his praying had not ended with his high priestly prayer, because there, as he proceeds to Gethsemane's garden, he falls upon his knees. Yea, he falls prostrate, and he begins to pray, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And that time in Gethsemane's garden was also steep in prayer. From Gethsemane's garden, he goes to Pilate's judgment hall. And from Pilate's judgment hall, on to Calvary. And there is he suspended between heaven and earth, nailed to a Roman gibbet, he's still praying. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And all of us praying, praying of the Lord Jesus, praying of our great high priest, all the praying that we have mentioned this morning, surrounded that hour that the Lord mentions here in his high priestly prayer. He prayed before that hour. He prayed during that hour. And he prayed after that hour. For he said to his heavenly Father, Father, the hour is come. The hour he spoke about, of course, was not an hour of 60 minutes, but a reference to the time when he must suffer, when he must bleed, and when he must die. This is clear from the words that he spoke to his disciples just before the Passover feast. For he said to the disciples, my time, or my hour, is at hand. Now he says, Father, the hour or the time has come. Though what an hour that was. Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator, had this to say about that hour. He said, the hour of the Redeemer's death was the most signal and remarkable hour, and without doubt, the most critical that ever was since the clock of time was first set a-going. Never was there such an hour as that, nor did ever any hour challenge such expectations of it before, nor such reflections upon it after. Even today, before we come to the Lord's table, we want to reflect upon that hour, the hour that the Lord Jesus spoke of, by that monumental hour, that magnificent hour, that memorable hour, when Jesus Christ laid down his life, when he purchased salvation for his church, then he paid the price of the salvation of our soul. It was that hour that the Lord was speaking about when he said, Father, the hour is come. We consider this hour. We first of all notice that it was an appointed hour. The Lord Jesus began his prayer with these words, Father, the hour is come. He spoke to his Father about an hour that they were both familiar with. Father, the hour has come. The hour has come at last. A point in time that at last had been reached. An hour that had been predetermined and fixed according to the divine counsel of God's holy will. That hour had come. For Jesus said, Father, the hour has come. Consider the planning for that hour. The hour of the Lord's birth, of course, was likewise determined not by man, but by God. And we read in Galatians 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Mark the words, when the fullness of time was come. A time that had been predetermined by God, when his Son would be born of a virgin. It was determined by the Godhead when the Word would become flesh. So when Mary brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes and led him in a manger, it could be said, the hour had come. Likewise, the hour of the Lord's death had already been planned by the three persons of the Blessed Trinity in eternity past. That hour had been fixed even before one star shone in the heavens, even before one fish swam in the ocean. That hour had been fixed in the mind and according to the divine counsel of a sovereign God. For John, in the book of the Revelation, speaks of that hour. He says in Revelation 13, verse 8, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You see, it had already been planned. Whenever the Jews cried out, crucify him, crucify him, little did they know it, that they were really carrying out God's plan. When they stretched the Savior upon that wooden cross and nailed him to that tree and then suspended him between heaven and earth, they were really carrying out God's plan. For the hour of the Savior's crucifixion had come. Years by the thousands had passed before the Lamb was slain on Mount Calvary, when Malachi closed the Old Testament with its prophecy, another 400 years had to pass before the Lamb was slain on Mount Calvary. And when the angels filled the heavens with their praise at the announcement of the Savior's birth, the thousands of years had become hundreds. The hundreds of years had now come down to just 33. Because 33 years after the Lord's birth, and the Word became flesh, 33 years from the Lord being led in the cradle, he would be nailed to the cross. And now the 33 years have passed, and now it's down to an hour. From a plan drawn in eternity past, through the thousands of years, to the hundreds, to the tens, to 1 hour. And the Lord Jesus said, Father, the hour is come. The hour that had been fixed in eternity past had at last. You notice also the preparation for that hour. Think of the significance of these words. Father, the hour has come. Yes, it was the hour of his suffering, the hour of his death, but something else. Think about what else that hour would speak to us all. That hour would see the fulfillment of every Old Testament type and shadow of the coming and the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord Jesus prayed, Father, the hour is come, it was the hour for every Old Testament prophecy to be fulfilled. With regard to the death of the Son of God, it would be the fulfillment of every shadow, every sighting, every sacrifice in the Old Testament. And then Jesus Christ in that hour would lay down his life. Every prophetic word would be filled. Every shadow, every type, the Lord's atoning death would be fulfilled. And it would be fulfilled at that hour. For every bullock that was slain, every lamb that was offered, every drop of blood that dripped from those Jewish altars simply prepared the way and pointed to that hour that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, would lay down his life and shed his blood as a ransom and as the sacrifice for sin. Every type, every shadow simply prepared the way for the coming Messiah. And now as he kneels before the throne, Savior knows that that hour has come. The hour when the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head, that hour had come. The hour when the Father would place his Son on the altar, even as Abraham placed Isaac on the altar, that hour had come. The hour when the Lamb without blemish like Israel's lamb that was slain in the night there in Egypt, that hour had come for the Lamb of God to be slain. The hour had come to make atonement for the soul, which necessitated the blood of the sacrifice being poured out. That hour had come. The hour when all the sins of the Israel of God would be placed upon the hand of the scapegoat, and all those sins would be removed forever. That hour had come. The hour in which a new and living way would be opened into the holiest of all. Bless God, at last, that hour had come. For when Jesus Christ shed his blood and laid down his life and gave up the ghost, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the hour in which we could go into the holiest of all through the rent veil, that hour. But the hour is come. We notice also that it was Christ's own personal hour. In a very blessed way, the hour spoken about was the Lord's own personal hour. Father, the hour is come. It was an hour which in many ways belonged to Christ. Christ alone. Interesting that as you read through John's Gospel, you will discover that John speaks more about that hour than any of the other three evangelists. Again and again he makes reference to the hour. He records the words of the Lord Jesus. John 2, when the Lord spoke to his mother and said, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." John 2 and 4. Then again, John records these words. "Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come." John 7, verse 30. And then the evangelist repeats the words again, this time in chapter 8, verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. And so we can see that this hour again and again is called his hour. The Lord Jesus spoke of that hour as his hour. He said, "My time." His hour, his time, my hour, my time. Now he says, "Father, the hour. My hour has come. My time has come." In John 12, verse 27, we find there the Lord Jesus had already prayed about that hour. For he said, "Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. For this cause came I unto this hour. I am come unto this hour. That's why I came into this world. Yes, I came into this world to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to preach the word. But I came into this world that I might come to this hour for this cause. The Lord said, came I unto this hour. What was that cause? Why, it was the redeeming, the rescue of his elect from their sins. That's why it was his hour. It was his hour to redeem. It was his hour to rescue. It was his hour to save. Because only Christ could take the sinner's place. That's why it's called his hour. His hour, because only Jesus Christ could take the sinner's place. For there was none other good enough to take away our sin. He alone could open heaven's gate and let the sinner in. It was called his hour because it was his blood alone to make atonement for the soul. Only the shedding of his blood could save the guilty soul from sin. Not all the blood of beasts and Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or take away the stain. But another sacrifice, a nobler sacrifice and richer blood than they. The blood of Jesus Christ. That's why it's called his hour. Because it was in that hour that his blood was shed. And only the shedding of his blood could save the soul from sin. It was his hour because only he could satisfy the demands of the law and appease the anger of an angry God. Only Christ's sacrifice could appease God, to satisfy the demands of a holy law. That's why it's called his hour, because it was in that hour that he did that very thing. To appease the anger of the Holy God. It was his hour, because only he could conquer death, hell, and the grave. It was his hour, because only he could lead captivity captive. And now the Savior says, Father, the hour has come. The hour to do all this. The hour. Was also an anticipated hour. And the Lord Jesus said to his heavenly Father, he was anticipating that hour and all that it meant. Father, the hour has come. First of all, for the Lord Jesus Christ, it was the hour of submission. The hour is come. The hour of submission is come. The Lord, of course, was always submissive to his Father and his Father's will. We see here in these words the submission of Christ. For he simply prays, Father, the hour has come. He does not shrink from that hour. He does not run from that hour. He simply says, the hour is come. In that hour he must submit himself to the hatred of the Jews. In that hour he must submit himself to the heartless behavior of the Roman soldiers. In that hour he must submit himself to hell's merciless onslaught. For remember what he said to those who had come to arrest him in the garden? He said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. And there on Calvary's cross, the Savior entered into the darkness. Into the darkness. And hell unleashed its fury against the Son of God, and the Lord Jesus knew what was coming, because as our substitute, he was smitten of God and afflicted. And the Lord Jesus said, Father, the hour is come when I will be smitten of thee and afflicted. And as he contemplated those things, we read elsewhere, and his soul was troubled. And he said, Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause I came unto this hour. He would not shrink from that hour, but he would rather submit himself to all that that hour meant. And he would submit himself to all that would take place, and to all that would be done to him in that hour of his suffering and his death. Turn please to Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. Mark 14, verse 34. The Lord is in Gethsemane. He taketh with him three disciples of the inner circle of the disciples, Peter, James, and John. And they began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. Verse 34, and saith unto them, the remarkable words, the Lord Jesus opens his heart to the three disciples. He opens his heart and he says, saith unto them, my soul, Peter, James, and John, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. Verse 35, and he went forward. Now he's alone. He's not with the three favorite disciples. He's alone. And he went forward a little, fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour, there it is, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup. Notice the word cup is synonymous with the word hour. He's praying, Lord, if it be possible, take away this hour. Lord, if it be possible, take away this cup. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what I will. There is his submission. Not as I will. Speaking there according to his humanity. But Father, as thou wilt, I will submit myself to thy will. And that hour of submission, the Lord said, is come. The hour of submission. The hour of separation. the hour of separation. I cannot help but think that it was this that was on the mind of the Savior when he prayed those words, "Father, the hour is come." Father, the hour is come when I will cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The word forsaken means abandoned. Paul uses the word in 2 Timothy 4 when he said, "All men forsook me, all men abandoned me." And the Lord Jesus, when he said, "Father, the hour has come," he was speaking about that hour when the fellowship between the Father and the Son for a period of time would be broken. When the Lord Jesus would bear on his body the sins, the law of intellect. And when God would turn his face, because remember, God is a purer eyes and to behold iniquity. And all the sins and all the iniquity of God's people were laid on Christ as he was nailed there to that tree. And in the midst of his agony, he was smitten of God in the foot. He was forsaken of God. And I believe that that is the cup that the Lord Jesus prayed about in Gethsemane. "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup." The Lord Jesus knew that to suffer in the place of sinners, he would be forsaken of God. And it was the fellowship that would be broken that concerned him at that time. But now he says, "Father, the hour has come." The long anticipated hour had dawned. With this in mind, the Son says to his Father, "The hour is come. The hour in which I must be forsaken by thee has come. I, who was dearly thy delight, I must be forsaken. An hour. Here, dear child of God, we have a notion of emotional, spiritual, physical anguish which not even angels can fathom. What did it mean for the Son of God to be forsaken by God the Father? None of us can answer. None of us. None of us can say, but I'll tell you what it meant. No, we must stand in silence. We must be dumb. For only the Son knows what it was like to be forsaken of his Father. Wow. the Lord Jesus and that high priestly prayer said, the hour has come and I must be forsaken. Remember, dear child of God, it was all for us. He submitted himself. And there on the cross he died. And there he submitted himself to being forsaken of God, that your soul might be saved and go at last to heaven. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. We'll give him all the glory, for he alone is worthy. Bless the Lord. It was the hour of submission. It was the hour of separation. And it was the hour of suffering. The hour it's come. And the Lord spoke these words in prayer. He was anticipating and awaiting the sufferings that he must endure. Dear child of God, if your soul was to be saved, if my soul was to be plucked as a brand from the burning, the hour had come for Christ to suffer in your and my room instead. The hour had come. The hour that had been fixed and planned in eternity past. The hour at last had come. Through thousands of years of living, through all the types and the shadows, the hour at last, the Lamb of God would be sacrificed. That hour had come. Not as though the Lord Jesus was unaware of what was awaiting him, for he knew exactly. When he ministered to his disciples, he said on a number of occasions, he told them, he informed them of what awaited him at Calvary. For Mark 8, verse 31, we read, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. Oh, he knew all about it. He didn't just say, the Son of Man must suffer. No, he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things. Be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed. And after 3 days rise again. He knew it all. The speech he repeated again and again in the hearing of his disciples. And now that hour had come when he must suffer many things. How often have you and I said, why isn't it good that we don't know what's ahead of us? We've often said that. It's good that it's kept from us. It's good that we don't know what's before us. But the Lord Jesus is the one who knows all things, and he knew exactly what was before him. Can you imagine the burden that would be on our hearts if we knew exactly what lay before us? Can you imagine the burden we would carry every day up until that point when that tragedy would strike us? When that illness would overtake us? When that loved one would be taken from us? You hardly bear to think about it. Yet the Lord knew it all. for he said that he must suffer many things. Why, the Lord says that ours to suffer many things to come. The scourging, the beating, the spitting, the cursing, the mocking, the nailing, the crown of thorns, crucifixion, 3 hours of darkness, and you are all. And he said, not my will, but thy will be done. And that hour has come. Father, the hour for me to suffer many things, the hour. We go to the table today, let us remember that hour. You have finally and very briefly the achievement of the hour. The Savior had finished praying in Gethsemane's garden. He said to his disciples, mark the words, Mark 14, verse 42, rise, let us go. He knew that Judas was at hand. The betrayer was approaching the garden. He didn't go and hide from Judas. When they arrived in the garden, he said, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Christ said, I am he. Here I am. And even there he displayed his deity. He said, I am. The Lord Jesus was then led out to that place of sacrifice. But what was achieved? Yes, God, at Calvary, during that hour, he conquered the enemy. The hour is come. The hour is come in which the enemy will be conquered. The hour has come in which I will shed my blood. The once for all sacrifice for my church. The hour has come. The hour has come when the light of the world would confront, challenge, and hallelujah, conquer the darkness of the underworld. The hour has come. That hour in which the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, would bruise the head of the serpent. The hour was about to dawn when Christ would conquer death, hell, and disease. Yes, God, every knee to Jesus must fall. For Christ is the all victorious and conquering sin. And when he went forth from Gethsemane's garden, he went forth conquering and to conquer. And there at Calvary, he conquered principalities and powers. Slew the dragon. He achieved his goal. He went forth conquering and to conquer. He's a conquering Savior. And he, what else did he achieve? He claimed his own. He paid the price, the for the sins of all of his elect that day at Calvary. He claims it all. And another one of his people in hell. Not one. For he prayed in his high priestly prayer, all that thou hast given me, I have lost none. He claimed it for his own. He claimed it as the spoils of war. And in that hour he was crying, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So what did he pray? He prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And the Son was glorified. Revelation 6 and verse 2. There John saw the Savior, crowned with glory. Thank God we shall see him too. Crown him with many crowns. The Lamb upon the throne. He deserves to be crowned. For he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we thank him afresh today for that hour and what he accomplished and achieved for us there at Calvary. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Our dear loving and gracious Father, we thank thee afresh for thy dear Son. We thank thee, dear Lord, for his death. We thank thee, Lord, that it was not a mere martyr's death, but a voluntary death, a vicarious death. We rejoice it was a victorious death. We bless thee, Lord, that we're here today, about to come to thy table, all because of that hour. We thank thee, Lord, for it. And we thank thee for saving our souls. We ask these things in our Savior's name. And Lord, should any need to leave, we pray that thou will bless them and take them to their homes and gifts. And O Lord, for all who are remaining, staying around the table to remember thee, gracious Lord, draw very near to us. In thy great name we pray. Amen.